America's healthcare advocate, Carrie Hall.
Hello, America. Welcome to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HIA Radio Network. My producer today, Mr. Dave Thiessen, behind the camera, the man who posts all these shows up on our podcast, YouTube channels as well, and Mr. Garner Cowdery in studio here at Cumulus Radio. We are very happy to be here at Cumulus Radio. This is our newest flagship here in Kansas City. We're very happy to be here on 95.7 and 710 AM KCMO. Also want to welcome one of our newest affiliates, KMAJ 95.3 FM and 1440 AM in Topeka, Kansas. They're also a Cumulus station, and we are very happy to be on the air in Topeka, Kansas. If you are chronologically challenged and you're looking for health insurance, specifically Medicare, Carol Lee Steele, the lovely Carol Lee Steele, at Benefits by Design, RPS Benefits by Design, can help you. She can also help you with any ACA issues you may have. If you're looking for individual coverage, 877-385-2224. Anywhere in the country, they are happy to help you. Also, if you are looking for employer-sponsored health care or health insurance, Maria Ahlers at RPS Benefits by Design. She is the chief operating officer, and she is more than happy to help you. She just did a group for us in Texas that they couldn't find good coverage, and she was able to do a great job of it. You know, they have some unique plans that are not necessarily available from some of the other brokers around the country, and I think you might find it worth exploring especially if you're looking on the group side. All right, joining me in studio today, Richard Haldeman, CEO of Datego Health. Welcome.
Good morning.
I'm glad to have you here. Flew in here from Texas today to do this show with me. A little disclaimer as we start, there are three founding partners for Datego Health, myself, Rich Haldeman, and Alan Wilson. Rich is the CEO. He is the former CEO of Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and has a long history in the healthcare industry. And it was Rich, Alan, and myself that brought Datego to life, and we're going to talk about that today. In the first few segments, all I want to do is I want to explain to you what Datego does as a TPA, a third-party administrator, and why we are different than what else is in the marketplace. That's really what I emphasize. In the last two segments of the show, I think you're going to find this very interesting, I'm going to ask Rich to go into what he anticipates is going to happen with the incoming administration. Are we going to see a loosening of the rules? Are we going to see more private plans being allowed to go into the marketplace? What are we going to see? I think he's pretty well dialed in on that, so I think we're going to have a very interesting show. So I'm going to start off with a quote that I learned from you. Datego Healthcare is a TPA that doesn't want to be a TPA, okay? Now, what he means by that, and I do this in broker briefings every day when I have these conversations, is we are unique in what we do. We don't sell other people's plans, okay? So we're very, very unique in that respect. We create our own plans in-house. We design them. We take them through the regulatory process. We put them together, and then we put them out in the marketplace. So, Rich, just expand on why we chose to do this so much different than other TPAs that are doing Pareto or the Berkeley captives, which are all great, but we have a different model that's targeted at a very different group.
You know, we started working on this idea back in 2018 and 2019, and it was really, it came out of the notion that there was a need for small businesses. That was the beginning. You know, so I own some franchises. I wanted to have health care for the people that work in the franchises, but really the carriers weren't interested in single owners and maybe one or two employees. So we saw that as an opening for us, number one. Number two, what we saw very quickly was there's a misalignment between the carriers and the ultimate recipient of the service, which is our member, the healthcare consumer. So we wanted to build a system of care, a system of delivery, a system of support so that it focused and aligned our interest with the healthcare consumer.
And that's unique because that was the approach. And the approach is an out-of-the-box approach. We're going to talk about what makes it an out-of-the-box approach and some of the things that we talk about here. But that really was what started this whole thing down the path that we're on.
Correct.
Yeah. And when Rich talks about serving the part of the market that's not being well served or underserved, that is the small employer, the small group, the 1099 individual, the people that either don't qualify for a subsidy or can't afford these premiums that they're saying that are coming up from some of the carriers. And that's not necessarily the fault of the carrier. Keep in mind that all of the ACA, everything you see out there on the individual side and on the small group side, is dictated by the federal government in terms of what they can charge, what they can do, and what they can't do. We are very different in that respect. So let's talk a little bit about that and some of the differences between us and the typical BUCA carrier.
Yeah. So what after the ACA, and I worked on the ACA.
You did, much to your chagrin.
Yes. There were some really great ideas and great benefits for people in the ACA, and I do think some of them kind of got through. But I think they left behind really those individuals that are self-employed or small company. They really just, it was left behind. And I think there was some real estate in the ACA to take care of that, but nobody ever acted on it. And ultimately, I feel like we deal with all the different states, their departments of insurance. And each one has their own strategy and their ideology about what should happen in healthcare. And some feel like, you know, people should be, everybody should be on the ACA. Others feel like they invite and want innovation that lowers the cost of healthcare. And so across the board, we once we got the lay of the land, we knew where we wanted to run with this company.
And we have done that.
We have.
Yeah.
We have, and we continue to do so.
It's an evolving process.
Yep. It's kind of like changing the tire on your car while it's running.
Believe me, that's a trick, all right?
Yeah, it is. It's a trick. And what you're trying to do is put in new benefits, new systems to help our healthcare consumers, our members, while we take care of everything that came before it. And so it is quite a feat, and it requires... It requires systems that most people don't have.
Yeah, and we have built systems like that. We're going to talk about those as we continue with the broadcast today. But the idea here is, and what I'm trying to do is paint a picture for you. Most specifically, if you are a broker out there, I really urge you to take a look at what we have in place. Go up to the Tegel website and take a look at what you'll see up there and send us an email or a contact sheet and let us know you'd like to talk to us. We'd be happy to get you involved and show you. But we're offering different solutions, especially to your clients under five. That's the area where we see a lot of cutoff that they don't have coverage or they can't get coverage. Or if 1099 employee, if you're a contract anesthesiologist, you're making $300,000 a year, or you're a contract.
Or you're a partner in a company where it's set up like a partnership.
Right. You may not qualify for an ACA subsidy, and you may find that, you know, our program offers better benefits at lower costs, specifically in certain areas when we get into the 44 plus. But the point I'm making here is that we have really separated ourselves, and we're trying to fill a niche here that is not being filled. And we think we're doing a pretty good job with that. We're certainly seeing a lot of growth in that area. We'll talk a little bit about that. But it's something that's very, very different in the way that we do this. And again, if you're an employer, if you're a 1099 person out there, you know, or you're a broker out there, if you go up to the website, just go up there and take a look at our information and send us an email or the contact sheet, and we'll be happy to reach out to you and get you into one of our briefings and have a conversation with you about what we do and how we do it. When I come back from the break now, I'm going to get into several areas: level funded, fully insured, and self-funded. We're going to talk about what do those terms mean, all right, and how does that roll over into Tegel. What do we offer products in all three of those categories? We'll talk about that. And then in the next segment, I'm going to talk a little bit of what we call FAQs, frequently asked questions. By the way, all of this is up on the website. You can see it up on the website. If you go to tegohealth.com, it's up there on our website. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. If you want to send me an email, go to that website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. If you got a question or a comment, we'll be happy to take it. Thank you very much. We'll be right back after the break.
The Golden Rule: treat others as you want to be treated. I'm Steve Keeker, and this is one of the founding principles of my firm, Senior Care Consulting. Since 2002, our value statement has included honor our mother and father, respect our elders, care for those in need, and treat your family as our own. We've been honored to help hundreds of families make one of the most difficult decisions they could ever make, serving them in their greatest time of need. If you're looking for someone who can provide you experienced and objective guidance when searching for a senior care community, reach out today and discover the services of Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2800, 913-945-2800. Know your options and choose with care at seniorcareconsulting.com.
Welcome back to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. You know, you listen to these shows and you go, gee, that's really kind of interesting. I want to tell somebody about that, or maybe you missed one. Go up on the podcast platform. There are 16 of them now that we post all these shows on. Actually, Dave does that. That's why they get up there the right way. In addition to that, they're also put up on our YouTube channel, America's Healthcare Advocate. So all the shows are up there. Go up and listen to them. You could even go up there and watch my Trump dance if you really want to see it. It's up there. I'll tell you, I did one right here in the studio. So, all right. So welcome back. I got Rich Haldeman in the studio with me today, CEO of Dotego Health. Everybody's laughing about the Trump dance. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. And so let's go back to what we were talking about. We were talking about differences between us and typical TPAs.
Well, so carriers aligned, obviously, to make money, and they have regulation around how much they have to, you know, put towards your claims, et cetera. So after the ACA, I think I started there where I talked about the ACA. After the ACA, they had to change their business model because there were restrictions placed on how much money you had to apply to members, depending on if it was a state-admitted product or whatever. And we can talk about that later. But they bought PBM, so the biggest and most apparent one you might know.
Yeah, that would be Aetna and CVS. And when he says PM, that's Pharmacy Benefit Manager. And what they did was they shifted over to PBMs to make up for the losses they felt they were going to experience as a result of ACA. So that's the big secret. It's not really a secret.
Yeah, and they're reeling from it. They're having all kinds of issues. They're going to get scrutinized in the coming administration because there's a whole lot of misaligned incentives that hurt the member. So let's talk about that as an example. So the first thing we did was we found what they call a white hat PBM. This PBM takes no rebates. Any rebates that come through go back into our claim fund for our members. Everything is pre-negotiated, so there's not a ridiculous markup on drugs. There's no incentive to move one person from one medication to another. It is the best medication at the best price. And they have an incredibly good clinical and customer service for our members. So we pick them to work with. The name of the company, just I'll say it out loud, give them a free plug, is called Ventegra out of California. They've been an incredibly helpful partner to us. And this is part of the whole I'm changing a tire while the car is doing 60. So we started moving people onto Ventegra because they actually look out for our members' dollars.
And if you're wondering how does this relate to what healthcare costs, 25 to 30% of your spend of every dollar that goes out for healthcare, it revolves around prescription drugs.
Medications.
So there's a reason that a drugstore bought a health insurance company. I'm talking about CVS. They're not having a very good time of it, okay? There's a reason why United Healthcare owns their own pharmacy benefit manager. They don't want you getting those medications outside of their system because they are making money on that. And that's part of the problem. And when Rich talks about some, and we'll talk about this when we get into the third and fourth segment, what we anticipate from this incoming administration, there are going to be some changes in this area.
Yeah, I believe there's going to be changes. I think they are looking at this from a true consumer standpoint. And right now we're really dealing with an oligopoly of sorts where you have very few companies controlling a good portion of the market.
And that's exactly right. And the people in Washington, the bureaucrats in Washington, the people at HHS and CMS, they like this structure because they have total control Okay. And they're the ones that allowed these mergers and allowed these companies to go out and do this. And now, unfortunately, or depending on how you want to look at it, this is where people are reaping what's been sown by the carriers and the government. This is why if you're a small group client out there and you've got 5, 10, 15, 20 employees, you may have gotten a 20% increase this year or a 30% increase this year. If you're on ACA and you don't qualify for a subsidy, and let me say something here. I think ACA helps a lot of people that have the subsidies get health insurance they wouldn't have.
Yep.
What we're talking about is that segment of the market they completely ignore. That's the ones that fall through the cracks and don't.
Ones that are paying for them.
And that's another part of this. And so I had an insurance company executive say to me, we can't get young people to come on our plans. Yeah, because the costs are so high and they're being made to pay for things they don't want.
Or need.
If I'm 22 years old and I'm a male and I'm not married, why do I want Children's Mercy Hospital in my network? Because that raises the cost for access to that hospital. Those are the kinds of things that are blanket deals that come through, and that's part of the problem. And that's where what we're doing is very, very different. We are focused on the small employer, the individual, that 1099 person that we've talked about.
Carrie, there's a conversation nobody is having. So in my history, I worked for medical schools and building out new medical programs, et cetera. There is right out of the chute, the medical industry is what they call cartelized. You know what that means? It's a cartel.
Mm-hmm.
The medical schools across the country, I forget how many there are. I want to say there's like 120 medical schools in the country. Those folks open up a certain number of seats every year. So before we ever get into some of the economic incentives or disincentives and alignment that's out there, at its base, we have a problem with the number of physicians that are in the marketplace. So you're right out of the chute, hospitals are faced, and I ran hospitals for a living, hospitals are faced with paying top dollar for specialists and multi-specialty practices and primary care providers, which is why one of the best careers young people can get into these days, given the demand and the aging population, is to become an NP or a PA, a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner, because those folks can be extenders of physicians. But there are not enough physicians, especially family and primary care physicians.
It's a huge problem.
Yep.
The other part of that problem is that these physicians, these primary care practices, and I talked about this when I did the show with John Stockman here, who is has been in the healthcare industry for a very long time, 25, 30 years, is that the hospitals and the insurance carriers in a lot of cases went in and gobbled up the primary care practices, so there are not independent primary. Yeah. There used to be independent primary care practices here in the Kansas City Metro. There were at least a dozen. Blue Valley, I mean, there was a whole list of them, okay? They've all gone away. They've all been acquired by the hospitals.
I was part of the problem, Kerry.
It's a huge part of the problem because they're the ones that are setting the priorities in, and the average time that you spend with the primary care physician in this country is 7.5 minutes. That's another reason why we are seeing models like ours come into play, where we have programs for people that get rid of those issues. Yeah. And we'll talk about some of those in the upcoming segments as we go through this. But we have programs. We had Dr. Farooz on here. He's gotten a lot of response to those shows where he talked about Guardian and how we're partnering with Guardian and how you have a totally different model in terms of how people access healthcare and do it in a way that makes a lot more sense and costs a lot more, but has better results.
Much better. And in fact, as you know, we're very close with Farooz and Bowtie. We believe in their model. We've made an investment in their company.
Yes.
And we've created a joint management system with them so that our members, all of our people on our plans, close to 35,000 now, benefit from this. And we can talk about that in another segment, but it's very exciting.
It is exciting, and this is what we mean by changing the face of healthcare. If you want to learn more about us or just engage with us and talk to us, if you're a broker, if you're a small employer, if you're somebody looking for health insurance or health care, go to DotegoHealth.com, DotegoHealth.com. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HIA Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. When I come back, we're going to get into those FAQs, frequently ask questions. I think you'll find this fascinating. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. Once again, if you want to listen to one of these shows or tell somebody about it, go up to the podcast platform. There are 16 of them now. Or you can go to our YouTube platform, americashealthcareadvocate.com. We get a lot of feedback. I think we've had 450,000?
Yeah.
450,000 views, podcast and our YouTube channels. And it's really quite remarkable, the number of people that are listening to what we're doing and what we're trying to bring forth in the marketplace to separate fact and fiction on the subject of healthcare. All right, Rich, so let's switch gears a minute. So departments of insurance can sometimes be much maligned, and they have a very difficult job. They're trying to represent the consumer. They're also trying to make sure that what's coming into the marketplace is fair, it's regulated, it's what it's supposed to be. Now, there are different departments of insurance that deal with that different ways. There are some that just go, if it's not ACA and it's not a government plan, we're not going to let it in here. Yep. Or we're going to make it very damn difficult for
yes.
you. Then you've got other departments of insurance like Florida, you know, like some of the red states where they have a different approach. So let's just talk about that a little bit so people understand why there are all these differences from state to state, because there are differences.
There are differences, and this year we really made a big investment with a company that I believe is at the top of their game called NTG. They have worked with us on understanding what each state needs and wants. But I have to give a kudos. We went to the NAIC meeting in Colorado.
And would you say what the NAIC is?
The National Association of Insurance Commissioners.
There we go.
I was really impressed overall with their concern about protecting the consumer. And they've got their hands full. So I'm going to tell you this. There are a number of bad actors in the market. And they have to figure out pretty quickly whether or not any particular organization that's offering something in their state is a bad actor or not. And that is a difficult job. So I have to give them all kudos. They all go about it a little differently, which is fine. We went in just to say we're an open book and we're happy to share and support any questions you have about what we do. But I was impressed with how serious they take their mission. And how they're really, at the end of the day, each one is looking out for the consumer.
And that's really what their job is, and that's what they're supposed to do. And as Rich said, what we try to do is make sure we're as transparent as we can be with these different departments of insurance. I want to switch gears now. When I was up on the website, one of the things that I saw that I thought was really great that we do are the FAQs. And the FAQs are frequently asked questions. And there are a whole series of these up there. There are videos up there. It's just you won't see this on a typical carrier website. So I'll give you a couple of examples. What is reference-based pricing? So we explain that. What is balanced billing? That's a result of reference-based pricing. Alicia, one of our staff members, does the welcome kit. Welcome to Dotego. What do you get? What's it look like? How do you interact? Okay. How does our telemedicine MyLiveDoc work? All of that is up there. And again, I'm telling you this so that if you're really looking for something different and you're a broker or you're an employer individual, this is an example of what we do that's different. So let's just talk about, I think those FAQs, which took a lot of work.
Yeah, they're probably on their fifth iteration.
At least. Yes.
At least.
Yes.
Yeah,
fifth iteration.
They're a lot of work.
Yeah.
They're a lot of work. And what we try to do is base it on the kinds of questions we get from brokers or members in terms of what they need. That's really the focus of them. So some of them will be more focused towards, member type questions. Some will be focused on what a broker might ask. So they come at it from different points of view.
So let's just use a couple of these real quick. So reference-based pricing. We have a product that is a small group product that we offer. It's a reference-based pricing product.
Yep.
That scares hell out of people sometimes because they don't understand it.
Yep.
That's what that particular FAQ does. But go ahead and talk about that a little bit and explain why is that a good option for some employers and how do we handle this different?
Well, I think we need to unpack some of the history.
Go ahead.
So the history was at some point when before the ACA even, when the market cost hit a fever pitch. And so people started looking for any type of cost relief.
Relief.
So back in the day, and I could give you a multiple number of years, but back in the day, you could buy a reference-based pricing product that didn't have a formal network on it, that basically was a negotiated exchange between the provider and the either the carrier or the individual member, and providers weren't ready for it. There was a minority, and there's more and more each year. More providers are realizing that they have to see the patient, code the bill, enter it into a billing system, upload it to a clearinghouse. That clearinghouse then sends it to the carrier. So literally before a provider gets a single dollar, that bill has been touched by up to 10 people.
What do you think that does to cost?
Yeah, it drives up costs. So we have to pay a clearinghouse to do all that stuff. Every time we add a new feed of data, we pay them. So it all, if it's our cost, you can bet that it's the same cost across the board. So reference-based pricing was basically says, I will pay you some percentage above Medicare, because Medicare right now, good or bad, is the only clear benchmark that people can go by.
And so talk about what the typical markup is off of from. So we have Medicaid, Medicare, which are the two lowest paying government systems, along with the VA. And then you move into private health care. And private health care pays a much different rate than what Medicare reimburses a provider at. Talk a little bit about that.
Let's just say something costs $100 under Medicare. So if you're a Medicare recipient and you go to the doctor and it costs $100, most hospitals and providers set their charge, meaning what you would see at McDonald's when you buy a burger, that's their charge to you. They would set it at 8 times that. That's a national average, between 6.5 and 8 times that. And for some services, it's as high as 12. So 1,200 times Medicare.
You find that hard to believe. It's not. Okay.
That's well, one I did it.
Yeah, I know. And he did, because he was on the hospital side. This is where there's a breakdown of the system. This is where innovations like reference-based pricing come in. Talk a little bit about the model we have, because the model we have is significantly different. It takes the risk out of it on the balanced billing side. Just describe that before we go to break here in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, just quickly. So what we realized that the pure, what I call the pure reference-based pricing, where you do everything through a reference-based pricing model, was just too noisy for people. Our country is not used to going in and negotiating or doing anything with a physician. It's all a mystery, right? It's all a fugazi. It's all in the smoke and mirrors. Nobody knows what something actually costs. So it was too noisy. So what we did was we found a network that supports networks that support reference-based pricing. And what we do is we include everything, including emergency, except elective surgery. So last week, I fell, I hurt my shoulder, went to my doctor. Now we have to have a surgery to repair something. We use reference-based pricing in our products. If you pick one of our reference-based pricing products for that segment of care only. Everything else feels, looks, smells, acts like a regular network.
And how much of a difference does this make to employers, brokers out there in cost versus putting an employer on a standard ACA, level premium, whatever the case may be, approximate?
I mean, generally, we see 15 to 20% difference in price.
That can make a huge difference, folks.
Because less than 10% of your utilization accounts for nearly 70% of cost.
And that's what people don't understand. We know there's an old adage in this industry that 20% of the people drive 80% of the claims. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. And using this system allows us to go in and negotiate that up front, so it's understood when you go get that surgery, this is what the hospital is going to get paid. You have no responsibility for that. We take care of that. That's the way that it works.
Yeah, I always tell people, and I give talks, you know, all the time. I always tell people that want to manage their own healthcare to take an HSA plan and to walk into any physician's office. And don't tell them you have a network and say, give me the cash price. And what I know is the cash price is going to be better than the network.
If they can give it to you.
Yes, if they can give it to you. But a lot of offices now, because of this shift, this response to high cost in healthcare, you can get the cash price when you walk in.
The biggest place you're going to have a problem with that is when you try to get the hospital to tell you what's going to cost me for hip. They won't tell you, okay? And if you try to go up on their charge master and figure it out, good luck.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that in the next segment because we have cash pay bundles that we offer our members and we don't charge them a deductible.
When we come back from the break, we will talk about that. If you want to learn more about all these things we're talking about, go up to the website, DotegoHealth.com. All of that's up there. You can simply send us a quick contact sheet if you're an employer, if you're an individual, or if you are a broker. If you're a broker, this is a product line that you probably don't have that you really should take a look at. So once again, I urge you to do that at the website, DotegoHealth.com. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting here on the HI Radio Network, coast to coast across the USA. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to America's Healthcare Advocate Show, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA here on the HI Radio Network. These shows are all posted on our 16 podcast platforms and the YouTube platform. If you want to send me an email, you've got a question, comment, if I can help you. I get people that come to me all the time that have a specific issue they need help with. Feel free to do it. Go to the website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. Send me the email. Myself or Dave will get it, and we will get back to you.
I need a Dave.
Yeah, you do need a Dave. Yeah, everybody needs a Dave. Trust me. We would not be where we are with this show without Dave.
Well, I know that. I know that.
Yeah, so let's go in a little bit more about this, where we were going with this topic of reference-based pricing and some of the other things.
Yeah, so bottom line is we build products. We don't want noise for members. We just want to make sure we're focused on the right things. So we're not going to walk over dollars to pick up pennies. We're going to focus on the major procedures. Some of our programs, we just launched a new product called the Guardianship for small businesses starting at 3 subscribers, okay? And that is a optional, like it's a new version of an HMO. So what it is that if you don't want to go through Guardianship, which we waive all cost, out-of-pocket costs for, you can decide to go and get care in a network we wrap it with.
But if you go through Guardianship, we cover it all.
Yeah, no copay. If you need a surgery, we place you with one of our bundled service providers that we have across the U.S., and we waive your deductible and coinsurance, and we pay for a caregiver if you have to travel a little bit.
And when I had Dr. Firuz Nagashi on here and he talked about this, we got a lot of response to that show. I mean, a lot of response. And he is a partner of ours now. This is what I mean. This is why I'm urging you, if you're a broker specifically, look at what we have to offer, because what we have is very different than what you will see out in the marketplace. Simply go to the website, DotegoHealth.com, send us a quick email, and we'll be happy to connect you. But these are the kinds of programs that can knock down costs significantly and still make your client happy with what they're getting, because they're getting a different level of care at a cost they can afford.
And within the joint venture that we've done with Bowtie Medical, we have a weight loss clinic. We have a cardiac clinic. We're developing other type specialty clinics where people can get help. And we're about to launch a program that helps get, if you're a type 2 diabetic and you're paying a lot of out-of-pocket for like... Metformin's cheap, but Mounjaro or Ozempic. Ours literally is free for our members.
Because did you hear that?
We have a special compounding pharmacy out of Arizona, and we're launching this within the next 60 days, that it's so less expensive. And this is the only one that ships them in pens, so you don't have to draw medication. It's shipped and set to the right dose, and so you're just sticking it just like you get with Mounjaro or Ozempic.
That's amazing. The whole idea about this broadcast today was to explain some of this innovation. There is innovation in this marketplace. We think we bring some pretty strong innovation to the party, and that's why I asked Rich to fly in here today and do this. So I'm going to shift gears to this last 5 minutes of the show.
Yep.
What do you anticipate is going to happen with the new incoming administration, which by the time this show airs, they will be the administration.
Yep.
But I think we're going to see some difference in terms of the way that health insurance, health care, health benefits are approached. Would you agree with that?
I would. I think, not to sound like I'm from Texas, but I think it's going to be a rodeo.
He is from Texas, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
All right. And I think every state's going to have a different think about it. Okay. You're going to have states that welcome innovation and free market. and you're going to have states that don't. And at the end of the day, whenever you hear the word Medicare for all, you should not walk, but run in the other direction, because we don't have the systems to support Medicare for all. You will be in line until you're blue in the face. The reality, what we really need, and some of the things I hope to see, and I have no sway on this, but I have been in the industry for a number of years. One is we need a high risk pool, because there needs to be some place for people to land so that they can take that cost out of employer plans.
We had high risk pools before ACA. Yeah. They were different in every state, and some of them weren't very good and some of them were good, yeah. But we had them. But what he's talking about here is bringing back some kind of a high risk pool so you could drop the level of the costs, okay? And the government could say, okay, every procedure over $1 million, we're gonna cover that under a high risk pool somehow.
Yep.
And what would that do to the cost? These are the kinds of things we hope there are gonna be some conversation around.
The other 20 to 30% of every dollar you pay is for reinsurance.
Explain that. We've got 3 minutes.
So left. Somebody has to. So when you have a catastrophic claim, a $5 million claim,
preemie baby, $1 million,
preemie baby. I could go on and on. When you have drugs that are so expensive that they're on for life,
growth hormones.
Yep. Okay. So bottom line is, you need to have some place to place those folks that that allows the free market to work in a more efficient way.
And really, when you stop and think about it, reintroducing the free market into this system, which is what we are hoping we see, and we're doing some of that ourselves, but hopefully reintroducing the free market into this system will allow these costs to become much more manageable and more under control. Because if we don't do that, this whole idea of Medicare for all, be careful what you wish for, people. Yeah. I've done multiple shows on this. I've talked about it. It's on Blue in the Face. You know, if you want to wind up in a situation like they have in the UK, where you've got 34,000 people waiting to see physicians for surgical procedures they can't get.
How about an MRI? There are only two MRI facilities on the western side of Canada. So in Buffalo, where they have a major cancer center there, people come out of Canada just to get their MRI because cancer doesn't wait.
No, and if you're told to wait, you can't get an MRI because you're alive. This is the kind of thing that people need to get through their head. That if you go, the way the government's going to control access, when you go to Medicare for all, going to control cost, is they're going to control access. That's the way it works in the UK. That's the way it works in Canada.
One other thing I would recommend is that we do need sort of a national wellness program where people can go for their annual visits and they can get chronic illness management, whether they're in a group employer plan or not. That is something we can do, and that is attainable through both the amount of physicians we have now and the extenders we have. That would be a smart thing to do.
Yeah, it would be. And, here we go, though. You know, how many people in government are going to want to do something like that? And we hope that we're going to see some innovation like that as we move into this current administration and what they're going to bring to the party in terms of healthcare. Thank you for coming up here and doing this today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, we're going to have Rich back. We'll dive into some of these other topics in upcoming shows. But again, the idea here is to familiarize you with the Tego. We have a whole suite of products, a whole series of things that we do that are very, very different than a lot of things in the marketplace. And we think that they can make a difference for the individual consumer. And specifically, if you're that employer out there and you're struggling, you want to take a look at this because it could make a big difference for you, especially if you're a small group employer. The website. Once again, it's TategoHealth.com, TategoHealth.com.
One favor, Kerry.
Go ahead.
Can we do the radio show someplace warmer next time?
Yeah, probably.
I am freezing.
Yeah, he's coming out of Texas. It's a little colder here than it is in Texas.
Something warmer.
There we go. And now I want to leave you with this thought from Winston Churchill. Private health insurance is the worst kind, except for all the others. Thank you for listening to America's Healthcare Advocate, broadcasting coast to coast across the USA. Goodbye, America.